Good morning, everyone. Glad you survived the storm of last week. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I love this passage of scripture. And I know that I put down Psalm 100 and verse 5, which I will definitely be preaching from. But I love this Psalm 100. It is a psalm of worship. Worship, primarily as I define it, is declaring the fact that God is the most important person in your life. When I worship my God, I am declaring the fact that He is the most important person in my life. Jesus Christ is the most important person in my life. The Holy Spirit is the most important person in my life. The Triune God is the most important person in my life. That's what worship is. From the Latin word worth and ship. What does a ship do? But carries the worth of what it's delivering to the other person, right? Yes? Worth, ship. Worth is value. Ship is something, a vessel that carries the worth or the value. So when I worship, or now in English, worship the Lord, I am simply taking the value of who my God is, and I am declaring it back to Him how important He is to me. Psalm 100 basically says that. Psalm 100 basically says all that. Now, the one thing I didn't do is to get to that passage. I tell you to turn there, but I didn't turn there. Okay, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. All of you who do not sing, or you don't think you can sing, guess what? The Bible said to make a joyful noise. He did not leave anybody out. We can all sing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized Jehovah God, the self-existing one, the covenant relation God. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Put a smile on your heart. Serve Him with gladness. Oh, good grief, Lord. You have to take Him the offering again this morning. Oh, my gosh. I got to shake the hands of all those people. Oh, I got to sit through the 3-hour-long sermon that he's going to preach today. Oh, great. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come into His presence with what, folks? Singing. Singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with what, folks? Thanksgiving. And His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For, here's the purpose of why you do all that in verses 1 through 4. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. Do you remember the chorus that goes like this? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Can you sing it? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. I'll praise his name. I'll praise his name. I'll praise his name. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Why do we do that? Verse 5 says so. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 100 encourages every believer to count God as their greatest blessing. Is God your greatest blessing today? As you look back this week, has he been good to you? And today you worship him, you carry the value of the worth of who he is, and you sing and you praise his holy name. As a matter of fact, the closing verse highlights three things. That is, verse 5 highlights three things. It might be a small verse, but it's packed with so much. His inherent goodness. For God is so good. Amen? Message over. His inherent goodness describes a permanent, essential, or natural quality, the fact that God is good, as a basic part of something, God, and cannot be separated from him. In other words, there's God and there's goodness. You cannot separate the two. God is good. God is a good God. God is a gracious God. In his goodness, he gives to you and me. How did he start that? For God so loved the world that he gave, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I kind of did a little bit of study in the Greek on that. And God gave his only one unique Son. Literal translation. His only one unique Son. God gave all that he had for you and me. He gave his only begotten Son. So you have his inherent goodness. And secondly, you have his everlasting, steadfast love. His steadfast love does what, folks? Endures forever. How long? forever. How long is forever? Forever. I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. So how long is forever? Forever. You said it again?
Eternity.
What is it?
Eternity.
Eternity. How long is eternity? No end and no beginning. Who said forever? I thought I heard that. And his unchanging faithfulness. And his faithfulness to all generation. His unchanging faithfulness. Faithfulness comes from the word faithful, which comes from the word faith. Faith is believing. Believing is trusting. Trusting is taking God at his word. Faith is believing. Believing is trusting. And trusting is taking God at his word. His faithfulness is a trustworthy character or quality of who he is. You can take his word. You can trust him that it will be forever from generation to generation. It means that God's actions, his character, his person, his intentions toward his creation, which includes you and I as humans and as followers of him, are always motivated to and by his ultimate kindness and moral perfection. Even when human understanding cannot fully comprehend life's circumstances. And believe me, there's a lot of I don't understand about life. Number one, I don't understand women. Number two, I don't understand children. And number three, I don't even understand myself. But I'm thankful that God does, because he's unchanging. God is good. He always does what is right and always acts for the good of those who follow him. Are you following him today? Are you following Jesus? Psalm 100 in verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." You got to put that verse in your mind and in your heart. That's why we worship him. That's why we sing. That's why we praise him. That's why we offer up thanksgiving to him, because he's a good God. When David wrote these words, he was not speaking as someone who had been spared from grief. He was not standing on a stage with a microphone and shock piano playing in the background. God is good. He was a man who buried people. He loved so much. He was a man on the run, for Saul was after his life. He had a big target on his back. He had seen promises that took years to unfold and who carried regrets that could not be undone. And yet, through it all, he said, God is good. His life had beauty in it, but it also had deep, sharp sorrows and experiences that you and I would not even begin to imagine. The part of David's life that I cannot imagine is when Saul was after him. Target on his back. Yet, he served his God. That kind of statement does not come from a person who has never known loss. It comes from someone who has walked through dark places and found that God was still there, even when the answers were not there. God was still there. I think that says that God is omnipresent, doesn't it? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He was saying that even in a broken world where painful things happen, God himself does not change. His character does not bend with our circumstances. And boy, you and I have a lot of circumstances, do we not? We face a lot of things in our life that really can shake us to the core. But God, he doesn't change. He's still there. He's still a good God. His goodness is not measured by whether the day went the way we would hope it would go or not. Last Monday, I was going to do so much at work. Last Monday, I didn't do a thing. Not the way that I wanted that day to go, because it set me a day behind. My supervisor called me into the office and she wanted to show me the tablet. The district is getting rid of all the computers and all the tablets. And now you have a new tablet. Go for it. Yeah. I have a Galaxy Tab. She said, "So do you know how to use a tablet?" Well, I said, "I have an iPhone. Maybe the iPad will match the iPhone, and maybe I can learn how to use it." Did I get any work done at work? No. I was so worried about that iPad. I typed to my supervisor and said, "Oh, did you get this? Wow, I know how to work it. I sent you an email. Ha ha, yay, it works. Okay, fine." His goodness is not measured by whether the day went the way we would hope it to go. Now, I want to illustrate this a little bit. I took this from a preacher. And he said, let me read a part of the list that several housewives compiled. Housewives, do you know who you are? Raise your hand. You don't want to? Fine, don't raise your hand, but you know who you are. Okay, so this is a list that several housewives compiled. They wrote that they were especially thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. They are especially thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals. That's that 10-minute job, you know. They are extremely thankful for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy, you hate to see them go to home to their own parents. I remember my mom saying, clean your room. Took everything out from under the bed, took everything out of the closet, and guess who follows me doing that today? My son. Well, my sons were growing up. They did the same thing. Take it out from underneath the bed, take it out of the closet, put it back underneath, and put it back in the closet. But they go to a neighbor's house and everything was clean. They were extremely thankful for teenagers because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. For smoke alarms because they let you know when the turkey is done. So that same preacher took that and this is what he created. He said, someone wrote this list of things for which he was thankful and to realize the goodness of God. I am thankful that God is good because the taxes I pay, because it means I'm employed. I have a job. I work. The clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, and gutters that need cleaning because it means I have a home. My huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. The piles of laundry because it means I have loved ones nearby. Now, our list might not all be the same, but I'm convinced that even if we began to make a list, we would find that we have much more which to be thankful for than just our material possessions, like life, health, family, friends and the nation we live in. I am so glad I live in America. Despite all its flaws, I'm so glad that God brought me into this world in the city of Chicago, which is number one now for bed bugs. Yep, we took the first place for bed bugs. We're now on top of the world for bed bugs. I texted my sister this morning and I told her, I said, did you know that Chicago is number one for bed bugs? I knew something wasn't right. She says, I will stay away from South Chicago as much as I can. But most of all, I'm thankful for my salvation, that Jesus saved me. And I am now a follower of him. He who died on the cross for my sin was buried and rose again. God is so good to me. God is so good to you. And that's the reason we can celebrate and sing. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Ra'a, my Savior. Jehovah Savior, my Lord. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. And then, secondly, there's his steadfast love that endures forever. The Hebrew word for the steadfast love in this verse, oh my gosh, is from the Hebrew word chesed. And you know what? That is found 248 times in the Old Testament. 248 times you find steadfast love in the Old Testament. Oh, sometimes it can be translated loving kindness. And there are times that it can be translated mercy or the mercies of God. But 248 times you find that in the Old Testament, and more than half of those occurrences are found in the book of Psalms. 127 times you find steadfast love in the book of Psalms. And guess where one of them is? Where is one? Psalm 100, verse 5. Give me five. Give me five. Give me five. Come on, give me an air five. There you go. Psalm 100, verse, don't wave. Just give me five. It's God's covenant love. It's his steadfast or unfailing or everlasting love. It's love that does not walk away when life becomes so complicated or painful. It's a love that stays when prayers feel unanswered. Do you realize that God answers every single prayer? Every single prayer. Maybe not the way you want it, but he does answer in a way that he knows it's best for you because he loves you and he wants the best for you. When the future looks different than what you once pictured, thank you, Lord. And when a piece of your heart feels like it's missing, thank you, Lord. It is a love that does not grow tired of your questions. My wife says I ask too many questions. And I do. Why do you look the way you do today? Why did you do your hair like that? Why did you not put your hair like this? Why did you not wear this dress? Why did you wear that outfit? What are you taking for lunch? What are you not taking for lunch? My wife says, I ask too many questions. And I definitely ask God a lot of questions. Why is this? Or what is that? Or where is that going? Or who is that? And so forth. You know what the English grammar is? Who, what, where, when, why, and how? I use every single one of them. Who, what, where, why, when, and how. You know, one, which of those five, which one do we ask the most? What do you think? Why? When we should be asking, who? Who loves me? God loves me. What kind of a love does he have? An everlasting love. No beginning, no end, for all eternity. It's a love that does not grow tired of your questions, your tears, or your silence. It's a kind of love that does not expire. We have a lot of food that expires, but his love does not expire. It does not fade away with time. And it does not apply only to the easy seasons of life, but through the difficult moments that you and I face as well. It teaches us that we can reach into the hardest moments and say, what? God is still there. And for God to repeat to you through his word, I'm still here. Even when life feels like it's been divided into a before and an after, God's love remains the same on both sides of the issue. And David ends with quiet but powerful truth. He says, and his faithfulness to all generations. Not just to the strong, not just to the joyful, not just to the people whose lives turn out the way they plan, but to all generations, to the ones who carry quiet grief, to the ones who still feel the aches years later, to the ones who smile on the outside but have places in their heart that never quite healed the way they expected. To this very day, I miss my grandmother. My Aunt Sarah, who passed away just a few years ago, said, how can you love her? She was so mean. Well, she wasn't mean to me. I love her so, and I miss her so, and I had her funeral service, and the pain is still there. I still love my grandmother. I'm really hoping and praying that my sharing the gospel with her has saved her soul, and that I'll see her in heaven. It's one of the hopes that I still have. God's faithfulness stretches across time, across families, across lifelines. It reaches into the moments of celebration as well as into the moments of mourning and loss. It holds the stories that feel unfinished and the lives that felt far too short. Nothing is too brief, too fragile, or too broken to fall outside of his faithfulness. Faith is believing. Believing is trusting. Trusting is taking God at his word. He never fails. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when this psalm ends by saying the Lord is good, it's not pretending that life is easy. It reminds us that even when life is not good, God still is, because God doesn't change. And God, who doesn't change, said in his word, I am a good God. Every gift, every perfect gift, every good gift is from above, in whom there is no changing nor shadow of turning. He is a good God. He sent his Son to die on the cross for you and for me. And his love does not run out. There's so much love he wants to give. His faithfulness does not skip a generation. It does not forget the small lives, the quiet tears, or the prayers whispered in hospital rooms, nurseries, or dark bedrooms in the middle of the night, nor at work, nor at play. His voice, you can still hear. For the Lord is good. If you forget that, hopefully somebody will slap a Bible in your face and say, Psalm 100, verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His faithfulness to every generation. The promise still holds true today. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Can you sing with me one more time? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the teaching of your word. Thank you so much that we can take your word as it is and know and understand that you are a good God. And your love is steadfast. It never changes. It's always the same. And Father, your faithfulness to all generations. When we get to be lonely, when we get to be tied up in our circumstances, when we get to be suffering, help us to remember. May the Spirit of God put it upon our hearts to remember the fact that you are a good God. And we'll thank you for this as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.